Elsewhere, a busy night for a couple of housing police officers in Yonkers. WFAS reporter Pam Fusa tells us they took a loaded gun off the streets.
A 23-year-old Yonkers man is under arrest after he allegedly ran from police housing officers when they spotted a gun handle hanging out of his pants pocket. Once they got to him, Lance Pridgen struggled, but he was captured with the help of some uniformed officers. He is charged with criminal possession of a weapon and resisting arrest. Pridgen was also wanted on a prior criminal trespass charge. Police recovered a .25-caliber Raven Arms handgun. It was loaded with three bullets. I'm Pam Puso, AM 1230, WFAS News.
An Eastchester police officer lucky to be alive today after crashing his cruiser into a utility pole on White Plains Road. Evanwell Officer William Bereka was driving south. The car driven by the woman said to be from New Jersey suffered damage, but the woman was unhurt. She was ticketed for failing to give the right of way. WFAS News Time 6:05. Any troubles on the roads? Let's get the answer from Craig Schenkman with WFAS Westchester Traffic.
Moderate flow at the Tappan Zee North, Jim. Heading into Rockland South is fine as you make your way to Tarrytown. West on 287, we stay slow exit 9 to exit 5. Not bad on the Springbrook. Quiet also on the Taconic State Parkway. No troubles on 95. Your update is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Organ transplants save lives, but only if you help. Donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. Learn more at 866-99-DONATE or organdonor.gov. And for a check now on your forecast, we check back in with meteorologist Tommy Ells.
We're going to pick up a little rain the next 24 hours. Tonight, warm and humid with a passing shower thunderstorm. We'll cool into the mid-60s. Showers and the thunderstorm taper off around midday tomorrow, then clearing late 75. The sky will continue to clear Friday night, breezy 50 to 55. Saturday, sunny, breezy, 70 to 75. Sunday, sunny, in the lower 70s. For the WFAS Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tommy Els.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Tonight, our guest is Rob Siegel of St. George Financial Partners. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, Bernie. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you on the show. And by the way, Rob, what is St. George Financial Partners?
St. George Financial Partners is a financial planning firm that I co-founded with my partner, Jeff Romand, in New York City.
And what do you guys do?
We run the gamut. We do personal and business financial planning. On the personal side, it could be anything from insurance to investments, asset management. We work with attorneys. And then on the business side, we do a lot of company benefits, health insurance. And what we've gotten into recently in the last year or so has been the special needs arena.
All right. So give me an example of your typical client.
Well, again, depending on what we're looking at, my typical client on the personal side, if let's say that it's not a special needs situation, my typical client on the special needs side will be a upper middle class client where they're looking for a way to take care of their children when they're no longer able to do so themselves. That's my typical client on the special needs side.
All right, so let's stay with that for a second. So what do you mean by special needs? What does that mean?
Well, special needs really, I mean, nobody knows better than you, but special needs can be a lot of things. It could be a child who has autism. It can be an adult who has autism or who is has any number of different disabilities that stops them or slows them down from being able to function on their own. And when you're talking about special needs, that's what you're talking about. People who are differently abled, who need assistance, and who are going to need care when their primary caregivers might not be around to help them.
Now, I noticed, just from reading the papers, and as you mentioned, our firm specializes in this area of law, that more and more people seem to be confronted with this type of situation. And I'm wondering if it's true in your practice, Rob. Are you seeing more and more families who've got these issues with kids who have special needs?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of more and more families are willing to talk about it. I think that more and more families are aware of it, you know, I've seen the same thing. People are wondering why there seems to be a rise in children who might be taking medication, or children with autism, children with learning disabilities, and it, you know, in my opinion, it's just very much a matter of people now recognizing it.
All right, so we're identifying it more, and people are more willing to talk about it. So you've got a typical family, a couple in their young 30s, just had a couple of kids, and one of them has been identified as having special needs. They probably don't have a heck of a lot of money in the bank. They're just getting started. What do you talk to them about?
Well, that's a great question, and I've said this many times, that the role of the financial planner in a special needs situation is almost the smallest. The person who's the far most important person in that situation is going to be the attorney and perhaps the advocate. And it's working with those people, it's coordinating that team. I think that is the most important thing that I can do. When you ask from the specific viewpoint of what it is that a financial planner will do in a special needs situation, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at what provisions have they taken for the child if they were both not around. Even though they're both in their 30s in this example, that could be a situation where, you know, God forbid something happens to both of them, their child is not cared for. So the first thing that I want to do is make sure that there's funding for that child.
Okay, so we're biting off a lot of apples here. Let's see if we could just break it down a little bit. So people in their 30s, they may or may not have assets.
Right.
Although people don't like to think about it, I mean, most clients I have in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, I mean, my clients are unique. They're going to live forever. I don't know if you've seen clients like that as well, but
everyone's invincible.
Yeah. So 30-year-olds are really not, when they come to us, they're typically not thinking about, you know, dying tomorrow or the next day.
Right.
But I guess it's part of your job to walk them through or make them think about, you know, what would happen if he did.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Nobody's thinking about dying, and you know, when you have a special needs situation, it does cause them to focus a little bit more. So what we're going to do is we're going to fast forward 20 years, 30 years. Let's assume that they do live to their life expectancy. Well, what's going to happen to their child? So what we want to make sure is, as I mentioned before, funding. Well, what we do is we say, look, whether it's today that something happens to you or 30 years that something happens to you, you want to make sure that there's enough money for your child. And in a situation with people in their 30s, you're usually looking at life insurance. You're looking at some form of life insurance that will provide a significant enough amount of death benefit so that if the parents aren't around, all of the child's needs can be met.
Okay, so this couple in their 30s with two young kids, one of them has special needs, comes to you and we start talking and they accept the fact that they're going to die and it might be soon, or we don't we certainly don't hope so, but it could be. How do you know what significant enough amount is?
That's a great question. So that's an excellent question. I think probably the most often asked question when I meet with anybody, whether it's a special needs situation or not. There's two ways that you can value a person for life insurance, and I'll tell you the way that I use after. But the most common way is to say, well, what's my family going to need if I'm not around? I've got a few kids. I've got a house. I've got a mortgage. How much death benefit does there need to be to cover those things? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other way to value a person for life insurance, and I think that this is the appropriate way, and it's what I use, is to look at the person's economic life value, which is simply to say that if you, Bernie, if you went to a life insurance company tomorrow and you said, what is the most life insurance I can buy? What am I worth as an income-producing entity? That's your economic life value. That is what you are worth to your family as a box that produces income over the course of your working life.
I hope they don't view me like that.
Yes, I hope not too. But the thing is, the insurance company does view you like that. So that is what an actuary and an insurance company has determined your worth. And it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 20 times your income, depending on your age, or more specifically on your working life. I have a lot of clients, for example, who are on Wall Street. Their working life is very short, so they have a different economic life value than others. So I'll start at the economic life value, and I'll say you're worth $5 million. And after I've picked them up off the floor, I'll say, now work yourself down from there. You determine what the right amount of insurance that you're comfortable is with, and I'm going to try to help you get there in a way that's not so painful.
Painful meaning you're not going to become insurance poor.
Exactly. I'm not a big fan of the word insurance poor, and most people use it. And you know, they feel like the premiums they're just paying for, well, who's going to be around when they're not around anymore. But there are ways to structure insurance so that it becomes a economic benefit to you while you're alive, as well as when you're not around. And that's really, I think that's the crux of my job as a planner. Special needs or not special needs, that's the crux of my job, is to try to help people understand that and try to help them integrate insurance as one of the primary or a primary financial vehicle.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. This week we're speaking with Rob Siegel of St. George Financial Planners and St. George Financial Partners, and we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and we're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And as you know, our law firm specializes in special needs planning, elder care, and estate planning. And I want to make sure you all know that effective October 1st, we're going to open up our new office in Fishkill right off of Route 84, so hopefully you'll get a chance to stop by. Right now we're talking with Rob Siegel, and before the break, Rob, we're talking about insurance for people, and I know a lot of people are apprehensive about buying insurance, and I think a lot of that probably comes from the fact that they don't really understand it. They think the insurance companies are just there to get rich off of us. Are there different kinds of insurance that people should know about when they're in this situation?
Absolutely. I think from a big picture standpoint, there's really two types of life insurance: permanent and temporary. And we'll talk about temporary first because it's easy. It's term insurance. Term insurance is life insurance that pays that you put in place for a certain period of time, a term of years. So let's say that somebody wants $1 million of term life insurance. The next question is, how long do you want it for? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, or 30 years. And they'd say 20 years is what you hear most often. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for death benefit for 20 years. After the 20th year, or again, if it could be the 30th year, etc., after that last year, one of two things is going to happen. Either the insurance will expire. More often, though, it goes up in cost astronomically. So you could have a healthy 30-year-old female who buys $1 million of 20-year level term insurance. You're looking at maybe $400, $500 a year for 20 years, and then in year 21, you could be looking at $12,000.
Right.
So that's how term works. It's renting. It's like renter's insurance. It's like homeowner's insurance. It doesn't build value.
Okay, so each year you pay the premium. If you die, you collect a death benefit. But isn't it true that in a lot of term policies, people end up paying the premiums for a bunch of years and then let the policy lapse and they get no benefit from it?
Well, if you think about it, that's exactly right. And if you think about it logically, how can an insurance company give you $1 million of death benefit for $400 a year unless they know almost to a certainty that you're not going to die during that period of time? So either people will, lapse it, lapsing meaning stop paying the premium and the policy goes away. Either they lapse it or they outlive it, and that's the end of the insurance.
And I guess that's really the true pooling of the risk, where, you know, you get a bunch of people together and, you know, maybe one or two of them will be unlucky enough to die within that period, but most of us are going to make it through that 20-year period.
Yep. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Which is why maybe it's better to consider a different type of insurance.
Well, yeah, and again, I'll preface that by saying that I have a combination myself of insurance. A lot of my clients have a combination of insurance because, to me, the economic life value question is the most important, and you want to make sure you get there. And it can be very pricey to have all permanent insurance, so you can have a blend of the two. When you're talking about the other type of insurance, permanent insurance, you're talking about insurance that is designed to never go away. And what the primary types of that insurance would be: whole life insurance, variable universal life insurance, and universal life insurance.
And these are products where you'd build up some equity in the policy?
Right. And to make it as simple as possible, whole life insurance is insurance where you are, it's almost like a fixed income investment. When I say fixed income, I mean bonds, that sort of thing. It is the most stable type of insurance. It is the most, it's probably the oldest, one of the oldest types of insurance. And the premiums on it are probably the highest. Variable universal is tied into the stock market via mutual funds, and universal is tied into interest rates.
Okay, so these other permanent types of insurance, especially the universal and the variable universal, could be even part investment.
Absolutely, absolutely. You don't see universal used as much as an investment vehicle as you do variable universal. When you see universal life insurance, typically the reason you're seeing it is it's insurance that somebody wants to keep in place until they die, but they're not as concerned about building up cash value. I call it term insurance on steroids, and it's really what it is. Your premiums are higher than term, but lower than whole life.
All right, so this doesn't necessarily mean that everybody ought to go out and buy whole life insurance. I mean, if you can get more insurance by buying term insurance, but yet get a better deal for longevity purposes buying whole life insurance, sometimes maybe you really do need to have a combination.
That's exactly right. I mean, and that's what, you know, a good planner is going to do, is they're going to take you through what the differences are and what the mix might be and how it also plays into your portfolio. You know, if a person says to me, how much whole life insurance should I own or how much term life insurance should I own, my answer is I have no idea. I can tell you what your economic life value is, but in terms of the type of insurance, I don't know, because I don't know anything about your portfolio.
So in this day and age of the internet, I know that many people can go online and get a quote in, you know, 30 seconds or so, and you know, lots of people like to do business over the internet. What's the added value that going to someone like you and your firm would bring to the table for somebody who's got a special needs situation as opposed to just going online?
Well, in a special needs situation, I mean, let me start with a non-special needs situation. Life insurance rates are exactly the same whether you go off the internet or whether you come to an agent or broker. So starting at square one, you're never going to do better rate-wise by doing it yourself.
So no, you're not going to save money?
Nope. The commission is built into the product. And if the agent's not getting it, the insurance company is.
So even if the prospect or the client feels like they're not paying commission, they are?
Absolutely. There's no difference in rate.
So what are they losing then by going on the internet?
What are they losing? They're losing they may not want to talk to somebody. They may not want to feel like they want to be sold something. So what you're trading off is your desire to do it all on your own and get the absolutely least expensive rate on insurance versus getting some guidance. Now, in a special needs situation, I mean, I couldn't imagine a person in a special needs situation going on the internet to buy insurance and being able to do all the things they need to do. In a special needs situation, the product that you're going to be looking at often when you have a married couple is a product that's, as you know, is an estate planning vehicle called Second to Die, or otherwise known as survivorship life insurance. And the way that Second to Die, it's exactly what it says it is. You and your spouse take out a Second to Die policy. When the first person dies, no death benefit is paid. When the second person dies, all the death benefit is paid. It's a way to buy permanent insurance that keeps the rate down, but again, it has its pitfalls, because if you're the second spouse and your first spouse dies and there's no insurance benefit for you, you know, you're not happy.
Now, you mentioned it keeps the rate down. Why is it less expensive?
Well, because the insurance company is using two mortality tables. They're using the mortality table of a male and of a female. So that allows them to extend the period of time that the insurance is going to be owned. Well, let me rephrase that. They know that a Second to Die life insurance policy will be on the books a lot longer than a regular whole life policy on a single life. They're going to have the money for that much longer. They're going to have use of the funds for that much longer. They're going to be collecting premiums for that much longer. So that's why one of the reasons why you're able to keep the rate down.
So unless there's a car accident or a common disaster, the odds are that they'll continue to collect premiums for a longer period of time.
Right, unless it's a policy that where it naturally starts paying for itself, and you know that does occur as well. The reason why a second to die policy is an appropriate special needs product is if you are, let's go back to that couple in their 30s. You know, they're just starting out, or they bought their first house. They don't have a lot of money, but they want to make sure that their child is cared for whenever it is that they should both die. A second-to-die policy will make sure that there is death benefit whenever it is they pass away, and because it's on both of them, the rate is going to be lower, and because you don't have to worry about necessarily one parent dying, you're really only worried about when both parents are gone, the second-to-die is an appropriate product.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Rob Siegel from St. George Financial Partners, and we're going to be right back after this brief message.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, a partner in the firm Littman Crooks, based right here in White Plains, and my guest tonight is Rob Siegel from St. George Financial Partners. And Rob, we've been talking about life insurance. Now, there are many purposes of life insurance. We've been talking about providing a death benefit with a special needs child, but give me some other circumstances where clients ought to be considering life insurance.
I would say the majority of the people out there who are not making, you know, millions of dollars need to have life insurance for a variety of reasons. And you know, let's start with, you know, how most people buy life insurance and why it makes it important for them to own it. Most people are living their lives from a financial planning standpoint thinking of only one thing, and that is accumulation. Okay, if you know, they'll say, well, I'm putting away $14,000 a year into my 401k, and I'm saving a few thousand dollars a month for my kids' college, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm going to that's how I'm going to retire, and that's how I'm going to leave money to my kids. I can buy term life insurance while the kids are in school, and then when they're gone, I can get rid of that, and I'm going to have all this other money to leave behind. Well, that's really not the case. I mean, in theory, it's a great story, right. But what people are failing to realize are the following things. And that you'll see where this ties into insurance. If I'm going off the subject too much, tell me.
That's all right.
When people are accumulating assets, what they're doing is the majority of people who are accumulating assets, and most people aren't accumulating enough, they're putting them into 401ks, which don't have any tax until you take it out. Now, the school of thought is, I'm going to put all this money in my 401k because when I retire, I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket. So I'm going to pull my money out, and I'm not going to pay so much tax. My answer to that is, how do you have any idea what taxes are going to be when you retire in 30 years, especially since we are in a historically low tax rate in our country's history? I would venture to say you're probably going to be in a higher tax bracket when you retire, even though you're not making any money. Okay? So now you've got this big wad of money in a 401k that you can't touch until you get a permission slip from the government, which is tax. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, all this money that you thought you were going to have is dwindling. And this is the same money that you want to leave behind to your kids, okay? So now what you've got to do is you've got to time your death. If you want to make sure that you're going to leave money to your kids, you've got to make sure that you die exactly when you think you are. Otherwise, you're not going to leave any money behind, or you're going to run out of money yourself, okay? Where does life insurance come in? And why does the buy term and invest the difference not work? Let's say that in addition to whatever you're doing in the 401k arena, the savings arena, you put a little bit of money into a permanent life insurance policy. When I say permanent, again, it could be whole life, variable, universal. I prefer whole life. That's for another radio segment. What that does is it backs up all of their other assets. If I know that I've got $500,000, $1 million of permanent life insurance when I retire, I'm no longer worried about leaving money to my kids because it's already done. And I can now take that money that I have saved and invested, and I can spend it all. So even though I maybe have less accumulated than somebody else who didn't have life insurance, I will be able to enjoy all of my money because I know that when I get to the end, I'm going to die and leave behind the life insurance. And let's say I don't die at what I expected, there's going to be cash inside the life insurance policy, which I can use tax-free. So that's the other benefit of a permanent life insurance policy. It is accumulates cash in a tax-efficient manner. So that's one of the other uses of life insurance.
And on the death of the person who is insured, who gets the money?
Depends on who the beneficiary is. And, I mean, the technical word is beneficiary. That's going to be the person they name in the life insurance policy to receive the death benefit. Now, there's lots of ways to structure a life insurance policy. You could have it owned in a trust, which is another conversation. But essentially, when you leave money to somebody in a life insurance policy, that's the person who's going to get it.
And can you name anybody you want?
Within reason. Actually, you can't name just anybody. There's got to be some sort of reasonable nexus as to who you're leaving your death benefit to. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. There's some rules about life insurance that people don't know. For example, you can't buy as much as you want. If you wanted to buy $100 million of life, I mean, I don't know what you're worth, but I know.
I couldn't buy $100 million.
I couldn't buy $100 million of life insurance, so there's a limit on what you can buy, the economic life value. There are some other things that people don't know, not to get morbid, but there's a 2-year suicide clause. After 2 years, it doesn't matter how you die as long as it's not in the commission of a felony, and people are going to collect.
So you can name your wife, you can name your kids. Now, if you're in a special needs situation, is it a good idea to name the kids?
No, because you want to keep assets out of the child's name so that they're eligible for assistance from the government. So
what do? Just cut them out?
No, you would name a life insurance trust. You would name an irrevocable life insurance trust. There are also special needs trusts, supplemental needs trusts for other assets that you would establish to keep the money outside of the child's name.
So instead of the child, then, look, you know, even typical kids who don't have special needs probably ought not be handling inheritances when they're minors, right?
Yeah, minors should never be named and as a beneficiary on a life insurance policy for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you were to name a minor child the beneficiary, that takes money that would not normally be caught up in court, otherwise known as probate, when somebody dies, and it throws it right into probate because the judge is going to name somebody to manage the money for the child. So you're creating a problem where it didn't exist. So typically what you'll do is you'll leave it to your spouse who's going to take care of the kids, or you'll create what's called a trust, which is simply a legal document. And the trust will own the insurance, and there'll be a trustee. It could be your brother, your parent, your friend, who will be in charge of the money for the child.
I'm Bernie Crookson, and we're speaking with Rob Siegel from St. George Financial Partners, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce have been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Littman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and we're speaking with Rob Siegel. And Rob, someone like yourself who's involved in doing planning for families with special needs must be involved in some community service work.
Yeah, I have to tell you that one of the reasons I became involved in special needs is because, you know, I love my job. I love doing what I do. However, I love the idea that I'm able to take what I do on a daily basis and help people. And I have to be honest with you that a lot of what I've done on the special needs side, I've done in conjunction with lawyers, one of whom in particular works at your law firm, who's helped me quite a bit. The things that I've gotten to do as a result of being involved with special needs, I sponsored a disability awareness night in a minor league baseball park in Brooklyn for the Brooklyn Cyclones, and I was fortunate enough to get the honor of singing the national anthem at that game. So we brought in a whole bunch of kids with special needs, we got them tickets, we got them to the game, and it was a wonderful night. There is a walkathon coming up for the John A. Coleman School that I'm sponsoring the breakfast for that. Speaking at Cerebral Palsy of Westchester. There's a lot of things, and as I'm learning, because you know I haven't been involved in the arena for an extraordinary amount of time, is this is an area where you need to do good, to do well before you do good, and you really have, or did I mix that up? Do good before you do well.
No, do well by doing good.
Right, and if I do my job the way that I should be doing it, and I'm helping people first, then all the other stuff will happen, and it's a good lesson for me, and it's a great lesson for my kids, two of whom are with me right now.
unfortunately, our listeners can't see, but Rob's got two beautiful girls here. And Rob's been working with Adrian Arkentaki from our firm, and we've really enjoyed our relationship with you. And tell our listeners, Rob, how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. St. George Financial Partners, we're on 530 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, right near Grand Central. The telephone number, my direct line, is 212-536-8716.
And is there a website?
Yes. It is sgfinancialpartners.com, like Stephen George, St. George.
Rob Siegel from St. George Financial Partners, it's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Brady. Pleasure being here.
We'll see you all next week. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Your partner, they'd be your partner, and your. AM 1230 WFAS.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. The shaven razor goes and it sings. Me as a white knight on the sea. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good times start and end without our love on the sun. But how much better do we really need?
WFAS, Westchester's favorites. From the Prefab 4 to the Fab 4, here's the Beatles. AM 1230 WFAS. WFAS, Westchester's all favorites, that's the Beatles. I'm Bob Barnum, 6:44 Thursday afternoon. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we're going to multiply your magnificence. And then right after that, Westchester's Soft Nights on AM 1230 WFAS. I'll see you tomorrow at 3, 6:44 right now. Let's get a look at our roads. WFAS, Westchester traffic. Craig, what's up?
Top and T looks pretty good, Bob. No backups in either direction. West on 287, delays are easing. No delays east on 287. We remain quiet both ways on the Sprain Brook, not bad on the Hutchinson River Parkway, no troubles on the Cross County. And your update is brought to you by JCPenney. It's Van Heusen Week at the men's store inside JCPenney. Get the best selection and deals on Van Heusen sports shirts and dress shirts. JCPenney, every day matters. That's with Craig Schenkman on Westchester's Soft Favorites. AM 1230, WFAS.
And from the WFAS Weather Center, humid tonight, a shower or thunderstorm likely. Low to 65 tomorrow morning, showers and a thunderstorm, then it clears up. 75 the high, continues to clear tomorrow night, breezy, less humid, low 50. Saturday and Sunday, nice weekend coming up. Sunny, pleasant both days, high 75. Right now, it's 70 at AM 1230. WFAS.
Hi there, I'm Stan, and this is an invitation to join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 at home with Stan Dworkin. From 9 to 10, I'm in the garden, where I'll answer both indoor and outdoor garden questions. At 11, the focus shifts to the kitchen, where I share my original recipes and take your questions about food, diet, shopping, exercise, and nutrition. That's Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 at home with Stan Dworkin, only on AM 1230. WFAS.
Rely on us for great music and friendly personalities. Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
WFAS.
Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting.
make your life softer. Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
AM 1230 WFAS.
I've been through so many changes in my life, woman. It's a wonder I ain't lost my mind. And I ain't never said how much I need you. I sure need you by my side. My love, just think about you, baby. Close my lose too much,
Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230 WFAS, White Plains, Westchester, a Cumulus station. It's 7 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Myanmar, also known as Burma, may be far away from your hometown, but the issues there hit home. with threats all around them from the government, pro-democracy supporters in Myanmar still taking to the streets. They were fired upon today, at least 9 killed, 11 injured. It's getting the world's attention, and the U.S. is slapping economic sanctions on the government.
We wish to see other countries, including those members of ASEAN, India, and China specifically, do what they can to put pressure on the Burmese regime.
Acting State Department spokesman Tom Casey, a Japanese journalist, was among those fatally shot. He'll be treated like a kid, not an adult.
I have decided not to appeal the decision of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals that overturned the conviction of Michael Bell.
LaSalle Parish, Louisiana District Attorney Reed Walters says an African-American teen accused of beating a white high school student in Gina will be retried, but in a different way.
This means the case against Michael Bell will now go forward in juvenile court.
Bell was convicted as an adult. The appeals court threw out the conviction. He's just been released on bail. The whole case sparked angry protests in Gina. We can all think of some kind of nightmare at the airport, waiting in line, waiting for a flight. The White House is taking the matter seriously.
The president wants attention immediately focused on New York City's overcrowded skies and airports because it's a